Crystal Payne believes that what really matters when it comes to your family's finances has more to do with your contentment than it does with your bank statement.
Contentment for me, I really feel like that is the key issue to financial success, especially as a Christian. And, you know, if we can just learn to be content with what God has given us, I mean, because really, when we are discontent, we are saying that God is not good enough. And, you know, we need to accept what God has given us with a joyful, thankful heart. And when you have that gratitude for what God has given you, it changes your whole outlook.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. We have some very practical suggestions for you today on how you can get your financial house in order as a family. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us.
I'm grabbing my billfold right now, I can tell you.
You're hanging on tight?
I'm hanging on tight.
Were you afraid somebody's going to pry it out of your hands or what?
Well, I just heard about the new book you're writing. You want to share it with our listening audience?
Well, because of the guests we have with us this week, we're talking with Crystal Payne, who wrote a book called The Money Saving Mom's Budget and has the Money Saving Mom blog, right?
Yes.
And we're also talking to Steve and Annette Economides, who've written The Money Smart Family System. And that's your third book. What are your other two books?
The first book is called America's Cheapest Family, gets you right on the money.
And the second book is Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half. And then the third book is The Money Smart Family System.
Okay, so since we're talking about all of this, I thought I need to write a book on this, and I've come up with my
title. And the
name
of that book would be?
50 Shades of Frugal. That's what I just think that would sell well, don't you think? Look for it on your newsstand soon.
Okay, Steve, so let's talk about saving on groceries. Mm. I mean, these are serious economic days. A lot of families are challenged to be able to make ends meet. Give a couple your best advice concerning saving at the grocery store.
Okay, first off, saving at the grocery store is the fastest way for a family to turn their finances around. Because in 1 month's time, just making a few changes, you could cut 40 to 50% off your grocery bill without clipping a single coupon.
So if you're going to zero in on one area of the family, you'd start at the grocery store.
Well, absolutely. Well, you can save at least $4,000 a year. Yeah. Just starting with groceries.
But you have to have a way to capture that savings. That's why you need a budget. Because if you save the money but blow it, you're no money ahead.
So you start with a budget.
Right.
But where you start trimming is at the grocery store.
Right. We've got thousands of ideas, okay? But let me just say, when we go grocery shopping, we do it as a team, and we take walkie-talkies, and I do the inside aisles of the store, and Steve does the outer loop. So he does the produce, the dairy, the meat, and
you're doing the canned goods and the frozen foods.
Right, right. Works through that.
But key number one, you've got to have a plan. Because the grocer has a plan already, and the grocer's plan is for you to pick up 60% of the items he wants you to buy, 60% impulse buys. That means if you go to the store for 10, you're going to pick up 16. And so you need to have a plan before you go in the store, but it's like anything in life. The more you plan, the more efficient you're going to be, and the more you save.
So start with a list.
Help me spot the impulse buys. Where are they?
They're everywhere. It's whatever you're feeling at the moment. It's whatever you're feeling at the moment.
It starts when you walk in the door and you smell the rotisserie chicken.
Or the French bread that just got baked, and it's not on your list. So you need to have a list. We have a downloadable list on our website, americascheapestfamily.com, where people can adjust it to whatever they want it to be. And that's the first thing, is to have a list. The second thing is to make a plan. So we tell people, if you're just starting out, start with dinner. Because that's probably the most difficult meal of the day. That's when people are tempted to just throw in the towel and say, let's just go get fast food or go to a
especially
restaurant.
Especially if moms aren't working. Right. You know, you come home and the tendency to say, let's just do fast food. And fast food is going to cost you $20 or $30, and you do that five times a week, you're talking thousands of dollars a year.
So plan your menu and use your food ads. Every week around the country, there's a newspaper with food ads. Those are like your map, your lottery ticket, whatever you want to call them. Those are your key to saving, because there's something called loss leaders that are going to be in those food ads. And Crystal, you just jump in whenever you want to. And Stores will actually take a loss on some items to draw you into the store.
Now, those items will be 30 to 60% discounted. If you can plan your meals around what's discounted, you've just cut your food bill.
Okay, let me ask you, how do you handle the grocery store? What would it look like if I was going grocery shopping with you, Crystal?
Well, I wouldn't take you with me because you're a four, was that right?
In other words, he's not frugal.
Not frugal enough, I understand.
But he's the guy who's writing the book, 50 Shades of Frugal.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I do what the Economides do, the same thing of planning my list based upon what's on sale at the store. But they don't like to use coupons, but I think that you can use coupons and you can do it really efficiently. And what I encourage moms to do, if you're really busy and you don't have a lot of time, find a blog who's covering the deals at your local store. There are thousands of blogs online who are covering in very specific detail all the deals at your local store. So before you go shopping, go to that blog, scroll down, look at the list of everything that is on sale, and print a few coupons for things you're already planning to buy or things that you will use that you might be getting for free or 25 cents. And that's another really simple way to save. The other thing that you can do is you can take your planned list of things you're planning to buy and you can enter those items into a coupon database. On MoneySavingMom.com, we have a coupon database that you can enter the name of any brand or product and it will generate a list of all coupons that are available. So you can take 5 minutes, go through your grocery list, print a few extra coupons, clip them to your grocery list, and save yourself some extra money.
I'm just wondering if, like dinner time at your house, we talked about rice and beans, that's how you got through college. I mean, would I even like the meals that you serve?
Bob!
You know what I'm saying. I mean, at $17 a week, right? Isn't that what you said?
No,
you
were... Crystal, go first, then we'll jump in, because okay. I know what you're going to say.
We spend about $50 a week on groceries now.
For you and your husband and three kids?
Yes, that we average that. We take that out in cash at the beginning of the month, and so we put, you know, $200 in an envelope, and that's what I have to spend on groceries. We also go out to eat once a week, so you could come on those nights.
Okay, all right. If I order off the dollar menu, I can come on those
that's
nights.
Right.
That's a good comeback. Good comeback.
But are you eating dinners that have meat in them?
Yes, we eat meat now, but it's planned. You know, we plan our menus based upon what's on sale at the store. I also practice what I call the buy ahead principle, which is, so if something is at its rock bottom price, when you mm-hmm. talked about, you know, 30 to 60% off, if I can pair a coupon with it too, if I can get it for almost free or, you know, 75% off what I would usually pay, I'm going to buy extra and stick it in my freezer, put it in my pantry. So then I'm planning my meals based upon what's on sale at the store and what I already have on hand that I've bought mm-hmm. at a great price.
But at our house, we'll eat things like meatloaf, stew, beef stroganoff, tacos, homemade spaghetti sauce with homemade meatballs.
Marinated steak on the grill. We found
steak on
a
the grill.
Deal on
you know,
top
I'll make
round.
Things like...
We found a deal on Top Round one time that was marked down to $1 a pound for a 14-pound chunk. We cut it into steaks. We bought about 60 pounds of it. We stock up in advance. We've got steaks.
Yeah,
for,
we'll have chicken pot pie, chicken cashew.
Okay, I can eat it. Yeah, I can eat these things.
You would definitely enjoy dinner right. at dinner at our house. Definitely.
All right.
So when you coming over?
Okay, so I think we got the grocery store covered. If you're looking for the next big area to save in your budget, Annette, where would you point people?
I would say the next biggest area that is really affecting families today would be debt. Mm-hmm. And I know we touched on this, but debt is just, it is literally choking alive America today. And people think, buy it now, pay for it later. I live better. You don't live better. You actually live worse because buy it now, pay it later. How many of those pay it laters are going to hit you next month? And so I really think people need to be more intentional, they need to learn how to pick their priorities.
Scripture says the borrower becomes the lender's slave. There's not one positive reference to borrowing money in Scripture. Our mindset is if you have debt, get rid of it as fast as possible. We paid off our first home in 9 years. It meant some sacrifice, but we are free. We are free to do whatever the Lord calls us to do.
Right.
So here's what we recommend for people to do. Line up all your debts, smallest to largest. And a lot of people we coached, you know, they're owing money to family members. They're owing money to apartment complexes mm-hmm. that they never paid. Those things, they may not be pursuing you, but they're on your mind, and really, Scripture says the wicked borrows and doesn't pay back. We don't want to be classified with the wicked. We want to do things God's way. line it up, pay everybody something, generate excess by selling things off on eBay, Craigslist, having a garage sale, gather as much excess as you can, put it down on the first debt, and pay everybody something. You'll accelerate that plan. Most people can be out of debt in 18 months.
It's back to a word we mentioned earlier, sacrifice. Mm-hmm. If you are in debt and it's got the best of you and you know that you're swimming upstream, draw a line in the sand and say, in the next 18, 36 months, whatever it takes you, get out of debt. I have a friend who I was mentoring who actually sat down over a lunch with me one day, and he said, I've got a problem that I got to tell you about. It's credit card debt. I said, how bad is it? I think at the time it was $35,000.
Yeah.
And he had a new truck.
He looked great, didn't
he? A house that was brand new. Mm. And I said, first of all, I want you to cut up your credit cards or melt them on a cookie sheet in the oven and eliminate any more charging, and then get after paying it down. And today, he is free. You start mentioning about somebody not living life to the fullest. If you owe someone, you're thinking about that all the time.
You know, Dennis, I don't even think of it that much as sacrifice. Maybe the early days of our marriage were sacrifice, but today, I think 30 to 50% of America has storage units that they're paying for on a monthly basis. What's in them?
Right.
I mean, if America just went through their closets and started selling stuff, I mean, we could easily pay off the first two debts on the list. Yep. So that's not really sacrifice. That's really just saying, am I going to pay less video games this week, and am I going to start doing something to get myself to a better place? It's priorities with your time and your money.
Here's what we've seen. When we've coached people to get out of debt, at first it was sacrifice and it was hard because it was changing a mindset. Once they got on a roll and they started crossing those things off the list, there was this incredible enthusiasm, and we had to hold them back because they started saying, all the excess we have, we want to put on debt, and they would be sacrificing the savings. But it works. And another thing people can do, and this is a tip that we've seen work, is you contact your creditors and you talk to them. You get one person on the phone, write their name down, speak with them consistently, pay on time. And if you accumulate enough cash, call the creditor and ask if they will take a cash payoff. And, you know, we are under their authority because we become their servant.
Right.
But if the master says, you are free, you owe me $5,000, write it for $3,000. That's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't defaulting. They can choose to do that. And we've seen that happen numerous times as people have paid regularly. God has graciously delivered them. And the other thing we've seen that happens every time someone decides to do things God's way is that God blesses and dumps large sums of money when you have proven to be faithful.
From completely out of nowhere.
You guys said you paid off your house in 9 years. Mm-hmm. Did you do that just by adding to your monthly payment?
We started paying $1 a month, and then God increased our income, and we paid $20 and then $500. And
we actually had a little party when it was done because it was just so much fun.
And Crystal, you guys, did you save the money before you bought the house?
Yes, we did. And it was because we'd done the math and we realized that if we were to go ahead and, you know, put a down payment and then work as hard as we could to pay it off, we would actually, it would take us longer, and we felt like we wouldn't be as highly motivated as we were living in a small rental, and we knew that we could do it in a shorter time frame. So
how long did it take you to save money to pay cash for a house?
It only took us 2.5 years. We were planning for it to take 5, but our income increased, and as we were, you know, God was pouring out his blessing, and as, you know, living simply and living frugally and all those years of the sacrifice, it just, you know, laying that foundation so that we were able to do it in 2.5 years.
But you undoubtedly had a house in mind that you could afford. You didn't set your eyes on something that perhaps you may be living in today. You started with something you could afford, right?
Right. We were planning to, our goal was we were going to save for 5 years and whatever at that point we could buy, because we had figured out we could set aside this, you know, every year we could set aside enough that we could, you know, buy this little kind of fixer-upper. But then God increased our income and we were able to buy. We didn't end up having to go with a fixer-upper. But we also live in Kansas where home prices are a lot less. And so you can get in, you know, you don't have to go pay $2 million for a house.
You know, I got to say something.
Okay.
Something Crystal said was so important, and you may use the word sacrifice, but I just don't think it's even that that intense. She said, we waited. We stayed where we were, even though it was a little bit uncomfortable, until we had the money saved. And if people, the biggest problem we see is people keep jumping to the next step. You know, before and they're not ready. Willing just to wait where they are for a little while. We were tripping over each other in our first house. It was awful. We finally had to clear stuff out because we had five kids. It was a small house until we had what we had wanted to have saved as a down payment for the next house. And I think one of the biggest mistakes people make in America is they just jump too fast.
Impatience.
Yeah.
All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. But afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's what we're talking about, is peace financially as you wait for God to provide rather than running to the bank or running to get it before it's time.
We're also talking about a word that is not that well known in America. It's called contentment.
Mm. Yeah.
That, you know, all the advertising and all the bombardment tells me what I have is not enough and what they have is what I need. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, I have learned in whatever circumstance I'm in, to be content.
Yes.
I think there's something within my human nature that mitigates against that. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, Crystal, of you and your husband, Jesse, when you bought your house, it would have been real easy to have said, you know, we've saved $100,000. Mm-hmm. We could borrow just $50,000
mm-hmm.
and we could get a, you know, so much
a
nicer.
A really nice house.
Yeah, it's a creep. It's a consumer creep that occurs. You start comparing what you have with what you'd like to have, and we begin to justify it.
Well, and I think contentment for me, I really feel like that is the key issue to financial success, especially as a Christian. And, you know, if we can just learn to be content with what God has given us, I mean, because really, when we are discontent, we are saying that God is not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we need to accept what God has given us with a joyful, thankful heart. And when you have that gratitude for what God has given you, it changes your whole outlook.
Let me tell you a discontented story and just see if you've ever felt like this, okay? When we were living in San Antonio, Texas, we had lived in a rental house for the first year we were there, and we finally found the house that we wanted to move into. Lovely home, had a bigger backyard than the other houses did. We were excited about that. It had a master bedroom, and it had three bedrooms on the other side of the house. I mean, it was just a nice layout. It was going to be perfect for our family. And we moved in. We were excited. It was the nicest house we'd lived in, and we'd been married for, I think, 15 years at that point. Well, one night, we got invited to dinner at a friend's house. Now, we didn't know these people very well, but we knew the division, the subdivision they lived in, because it was
posh.
It was a named subdivision. It had a guard gate out at the front, and behind that guard gate, George Strait's house was back there. And David Robinson's house was back there, okay?
So it was upscale.
It was the nice part of town. We went and had dinner at their house, and I remember driving home from their house that night back to that dumpy little house that we had just moved into. And it was funny how when we'd left that afternoon, we were really excited about our new house. When we drove back, ours was kind of plain and boring. Mm-hmm. Have you ever found yourself in that comparison trap where you go, gee, I would like just once to have something really nice?
I know, especially during law school, you know, when we'd see all these other students who were in law school who we knew were in debt, and they were, you know, going out and, you know, buying these new vehicles and, you know, going and doing things together, and we couldn't afford to go out with them because we didn't have any money. And it was hard to look at them and say, you know, you just felt like we were missing out. But at the same time, we knew that it would be worth it. And on the flip side, you know, if you go to a third world country and, you know, or even just an inner city, and you see how some of these people are living, all of a sudden you realize that we have so much. And you start, you know, you just realize that we have so much to be thankful for. We should never feel like we need anything more.
Yeah. You know, we live in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Paradise Valley is pretty close by. Yeah. And there's exactly the kind of houses you're talking about, Bob. And when Steve and I get invited to parties and events at those houses, we sit there and we go, what do you think the utility bills are? And how much do they pay the cleaning crew to clean this? And of course, they're not going to do their own landscaping if they live in a house like this. So what do you think they pay the landscapers?
Right.
And so when you start thinking about the cost of living in a house like that, you're like, and what do they pay for taxes? We're like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, we want no part of this.
I'm just thinking of Paul, who instructed Timothy. The last chapter of his first book, he wrote Timothy. He said, "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." Now listen to this. This is an absurd statement if it was anywhere other than Scripture, mm-hmm. given this culture we live in. "But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now think about that for a moment. We don't know much contentment in this culture. It's about the latest gadget or whatever, but we're always looking to the next thing that's going to provide happiness or an experience for us.
Some of the later manuscripts include food, clothing, and an iPhone.
Technology.
That's in some of the later manuscripts. Yeah.
I want to keep on reading. At the end of the chapter, Paul says, "As for the rich in this present age," which, by the way, are not the people who make six figures.
Yeah.
Most Americans
are rich
mm-hmm. compared to the world. "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life."
Mm.
Let me read that again. "So that they may take hold of that which is truly life." The Scriptures are like a GPS.
Mm-hmm.
It's pointing us in the direction. When we deny the truth of this book, we set ourselves off into all kinds of perilous journeys. And I'm afraid today most couples, most families, don't have a copy of the Money Smart Family System nor the Money Saving Mom's Budget, and they're in desperate need of them, and they need to get them. Crystal, Steve, Annette, thanks for being on the broadcast.
Thanks for having us.
You can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, to find out more about the books that Steve and Annette have written, the book that Crystal has written. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com. Or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY for more information, 1-800-358-6329. Call to order either of both of these books, the book that Crystal's written for moms putting a budget together, or the book that the Economides has written to help families get a system together for teaching your kids how to be responsible with their money. And we hope you'll be back with us tomorrow when Jill Rigby's going to be here to talk about selfishness and how we can help our kids be cured. I guess probably not cured. I don't know we're ever cured of our selfishness, but how you can help your kids learn to be unselfish in a world that is pushing them the other direction. That's tomorrow. Hope you can be here for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.